We're going to continue with our discussion about the Pac-12 conference as we are zeroing in on the Oregon Ducks with Brian Libby, author at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So, Brian, you've been breaking it all down, you know, that loss against Stanford. So where do the Ducks go from here? What's their next option? I mean, is the Fiesta Bowl, is that their best target?
Well, you know, I thought it was going to be the Fiesta Bowl. You know, this is, of course, predicated on Oregon winning their last three games against Utah, Arizona, and Oregon State. But I do think that will happen. And so I had thought the Fiesta Bowl, you know, that was where they played last year. And if you're a Pac-12 team and you're not playing in the Rose Bowl, but you've got, you know, say 11 wins, then the Fiesta Bowl is the most likely destination. But actually now I'm hearing that if Oregon continued to win out and made it to a January Bowl, it actually might be likelier to be the Orange Bowl or possibly the Sugar Bowl. And that would be pretty exciting because
Yeah,
the Ducks have never played in either of those games. They've been to three Fiesta Bowls, and I want to say seven Rose Bowls, but have never played in the Orange or the Sugar Bowl. There was a game that Oregon played against LSU in the 1930s that was kind of treated as an unofficial Sugar Bowl because it was like 1 year before the bowl itself was started, and it was played like the same time of year and all that sort of thing. But officially, they've never played in a Sugar Bowl or an Orange Bowl. But some of the projections now are talking about a matchup in the Orange Bowl between Oregon and Clemson. And I, for one, think that would be a pretty exciting game to watch. I mean, you know, let's face it, even though we all know that, to a large extent, defense and running games win championships, if you're watching a football game, be it college or pro, on TV, and it doesn't involve your team, chances are most of us are going to want to see some teams that can score. And Clemson and Oregon would definitely fill that bill. And you know, Clemson and Oregon are kind of kindred spirits in a way this season because both teams had national championship aspirations and both have suffered, you know, just one loss. But as we know, one loss is all it takes in college football to lose your championship dreams. And so, you know, seeing Taj Boyd go up against Marcus Mariota and Clemson's offense against Oregon's, I think that would be a lot of fun and something for me that would probably be worth going to South Florida in person for.
Well, Brian, it's going to be very interesting to see how all these hypotheticals play out. But, of course, first and foremost, Oregon's got to take care of business on Saturday if you are a Duck fan because, of course, they face Utah, and then they've got Arizona and Oregon State. So, you know, there's been so much discussion, Brian, in college football about Baylor and Art Briles, you know, the type of numbers. They're just posting crazy numbers offensively. But the same is true with Oregon. Talk about just offensively, this no-huddle offense. It's been so impressive, and obviously they know how to take care of business, too.
Well, you know, it's really funny to me when I hear quotes from people like Nick Saban or Brent Bielema talking about how the type of traditional football that their teams play are, they use words like normal football and stuff. But what you see is that even though Alabama could win a third national title this year, you can see that the spread offense and the scoring capability of teams like Baylor and Oregon scare Nick Saban and the traditionalists. And, you know, Baylor is doing something extraordinary this year. You know, they may be even a better offensive team than Oregon or any of the others. And, you know, I think it's undeniable that a lot of what we're seeing in college football with the spread offense and the kind of blur offense or hurry-up offense is the wave of the future. And, you know, so much of it to me is just common sense. Like, you know, imagine if you're in a boxing match and you've got an opponent on the ropes and you're going to keep swinging at him. You're not going to throw a punch every 30 seconds when you can throw a punch every 2 seconds. And you know that that's going to tire out your opponent more. And so, you know, now to me, even though there's an aspect of me or a part of me that loves watching a traditional football team like Alabama, you know, when I see a team huddle up, it feels like they're driving a horse and buggy or something. And I think even more than the spread offense itself, I think what teams like Chip Kelly's Oregon teams and now Baylor and some of the others have done to just pick up the pace of the game is something that is here to stay. And, you know, any kind of innovation, I think, you know, it's something that's here to stay or something that's innovative when you say to yourself, you know, why wasn't this happening all along? And, you know, to hike the ball as soon as you can and keep your defensive opponent unable to substitute and unable to draw breath is just undeniable as a tool in a team's arsenal.
We are talking Oregon Duck football with Brian Libby at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I always learn so much when you are on the program, and it is interesting when you talk about the tradition with the Oregon program, because there's been so many great quarterbacks that have come out of this program, whether it's been a Dan Fouts, a Joey Harrington, Norm Van Brocklin. And I thought that, you know, you and I had a chance to talk a little bit earlier as far as that Norm was kind of ahead of his time, especially, what, in the NFL?
Yeah. You know, I totally get it that, you know, people out there listening to this, whether they're in Texas or Oklahoma, you know, the homes of or other parts of the country, you know, Oregon is not a superstar or legendary program like the Longhorns or the Sooners or Notre Dame. But having said that, there is quite a tradition here, especially at the quarterback position. And Oregon is actually one of only four teams in all of college football to have two quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame. There's Purdue, there's UCLA, and there's Alabama. I think Alabama had Bart Starr and Joe Namath. Purdue had Bob Greasy, and I'm forgetting the other. UCLA had Bob Waterfield and Troy Aikman. So, you know, there are teams like Notre Dame and USC, Texas, you know, great legendary programs who dwarf Oregon in accomplishments, but the Ducks have been able to send two quarterbacks to the Hall of Fame, and I think it's Norm Van Brocklin himself is surprisingly relevant for a quarterback who played in the 1950s. You know, you think of 1950s NFL football, and you think of, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and, you know, maybe an occasional pass, but here we have Norm Van Brocklin, especially with the Rams of the 1950s, where, you know, he still holds the NFL record for most passing yards in a game with 554 yards. And you just think to yourself, how did anybody throw for 500-plus yards in an NFL game in 1950?
Wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, Norm Van Brocklin isn't somebody who gets mentioned in the same breath with, you know, Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana and so forth as the greatest of the greats. But, you know, if you throw for 550 yards while you're wearing practically a leather helmet, you know, that tells me something.
So I want to fast forward ahead here. How does Marcus Mariota, how does he compare to other Oregon Duck quarterbacks from the past?
Well, you know, Elisa, I don't say this lightly, but I've felt for a while now that Marcus Mariota has an opportunity to finish as the greatest Oregon Ducks quarterback of all time.
That's,
you
know, quite a
better
statement.
Than Van
Wow.
Brocklin, better than Fouts, better than Harrington. He just, when you watch this kid, granted I'm biased and I'm an Oregon Ducks fan, but when I watch this kid, he just looks like the chosen one to me. I remember watching him in his first spring game as a freshman, as a true freshman, and he looked like a great quarterback then. He ran for an 80-yard touchdown, you know, in his first time in an Oregon uniform in a spring game, and it's almost scary sometimes, because if you have a great player, you just think to yourself that you want the team to fulfill its potential. And you know, there are a lot of great young phenoms who have come along and have not met expectations, but when you look at Mariota and the spread offense, and you see how he's a better passer than, say, Darren Thomas, who took Oregon in the national championship game, or you see he's a better runner than Dennis Dixon, who was leading the Heisman race before he got injured 6 years ago, it just feels to me like Mariota may be the greatest Oregon quarterback of all time, but it's still a story that's not completely written. You know, there's this season to finish out, and then Mariota's going to have an interesting question at the end of the season, in that, you know, this is only his sophomore year, but because of the progress he's made academically, he will be eligible to declare for the NFL draft this spring if he wants to. And I would be a little surprised if Mariota does that. You know, his predecessor, Darren Thomas, declared a year early, and now that was clearly a mistake. He's playing arena football, not even in the NFL.
Brian Libby has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. He's getting you ready. Oregon Ducks, they face Utah, 3:00 Central Time on Saturday. We sincerely appreciate the time. You always provide some great information and insight. And Brian, we'll talk to you, I promise, real soon, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Much more straight ahead at Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big East Sports Show.